So, how much is a mother worth these days? If you had to put a price on the value of all that a mother does, I wonder what that price would be. Well, a recent survey by Salary.com, a division of human resources consultant Connexa, at commercial rates, based on a survey of 6,616 mothers. They put a value on their work, breaking down the mother's duties into 10 different roles. Daycare teacher, CEO, psychologist, cook, housekeeper, laundry machine operator, computer operator, facilities manager, janitor, and taxi driver. Mums should be receiving £73,000 a year. Doesn't sound so much when you say it quickly. And that's broken down with £23,000 a year base salary and £50,000 in overtime. Everly Ebb, general manager of Salary.com, said the breadth of mothers' responsibilities is beyond, and I presume she means men, beyond what most workers could experience in a day-to-day role. She says, imagine if you had to attract and retain a candidate to fulfill all of those 10 roles. Because according to the survey of 6,616 mothers, the average amount of time a mother works amounts to 97 hours a week. 97. 13 hours as a daycare teacher, 4 hours as a household CEO, 8 hours as a psychologist, 14 as a chef, 15 as a housekeeper, 7 doing the laundry, 9 as a computer operator, 11 as a facilities manager, 8 as a janitor, and 8 hours a week driving the family car. Fulfilling those 10 roles, working nearly 100-hour week, mums are surely the most valuable workers in our country. If you're a man or a child, I encourage you to express your appreciation to your wives or mothers present for their voluntary, sacrificial giving. Voluntary, sacrificial giving. That's our theme today, and what better day to reflect upon it than Mothering Sunday. During the Sundays leading up to Easter, we're thinking about fulfilling our 2020 vision, and appropriately we're thinking about giving. Giving voluntarily, willingly, joyfully, secretly, and sacrificially. And I want you to see from God's Word that our attitude to money shapes not only our legacy, but ultimately our destiny. Because in these verses from Matthew 6, there are two portraits presented. Two alternative treasures, Matthew 6. Two opposite spiritual conditions, light and darkness. And two mutually exclusive masters, God and money. Because God has revealed his will, because he wants us to choose well, and enjoy a long life. He wants us to live a stress-free life, and he wants us to live at peace with ourselves, in harmony with God, and with one another. So to help us choose wisely, he asks us three questions. Question of treasure, where is your security? Question of vision, what is your ambition? And a question of loyalty, who are you serving? Let's look at these three questions one at a time. Where is your security? A question of treasure. Chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Please turn with it with me if you wish. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, Jesus is comparing two relative durabilities, the durabilities of two treasures. And it should be easy to choose the right one. treasures on earth, he says, are temporary. And that's why we get so insecure when we place our emphasis in them. Treasures in heaven are permanent, and therefore, as we trust in them, we will find security. Now, please notice what Jesus is not forbidding. He's not forbidding private property. There's no ban on possessions in Scripture. Scripture does not forbid private property. We should give voluntarily, freely. Acts chapter 5 is all about the story of Ananias and Sapphira, who drop dead when they lie about what they're giving. They pretend they're giving everything they've got, and they're not. But Peter insists that they were free to give. They were not under compulsion. No, private property is not what Jesus has in mind. Nor is he talking about insurance policies. Saving for a rainy day is not forbidden. Life insurance policies, are simply a way of a self-imposed way of saving by compulsion. You haven't got any choice. Once you start it, you complete it. In fact, Scripture praises the ant in Proverbs 6 for storing in the summer the food it will need in the winter. So Jesus is not talking about providing for our families, for example. 1 Timothy 5:8, Paul says that the person who makes no provision for his family is worse than an unbeliever. We're under an obligation to provide for our families, perhaps for our retirement. And nor is Jesus talking about material blessing. We should give thanks for the good things God provides. 1 Timothy 4 says, everything God has created is good. Creation is not bad. Creation is good, and it's there for us to enjoy. So Jesus is not talking about private property. He's not talking about providing for the future. He's not talking about material blessings. So what is Jesus talking about? He's talking about selfish accumulation. The text says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Jesus is not saying you're not allowed to provide for the future. He's talking about being self-centered and greedy and wanting more. He's not criticizing being provident, but being covetous. Earthly treasure, Jesus insists, grows rusty, moth-eaten, and thieves will break in and steal. Now, we may try and protect our treasures, CCTV, burglar alarms, offshore bank accounts, padlocks, rust-proof paint. But these measures, even if we succeed, we're still vulnerable to inflation or devaluation or taxation or disintegration. And even if our possessions carry lifetime warranties, unconditional guarantees, or we are buried with them, we still can't take them with us. If you want treasure in heaven, you have to send it on ahead. If you want treasure in heaven, you have to send it on ahead. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, says Jesus. Well, what treasure does Jesus have in mind? Well, he doesn't explicitly say so here. But it must have to do with something I can do now that will last for eternity. Something that I can invest my life in now that will be evident in heaven. Next week, we're going to be thinking about contagious evangelism. I pray that there will be people in heaven, humanly speaking, who are there because of our witness, because we have shared Jesus with them. Surely that is a treasure. But I believe there are three things we can think of, particularly this morning. The first is worship. Bill Hybels says, one joy-filled investment plan is the commitment to be a regular and passionate worshipper. Worship is never wasteful in the eyes of God. Every act of private and corporate worship is a deposit in your heavenly bank account, he says. I mean, think about it. Would you buy a car with no service history? Bit of a risk, isn't it? Well, you might gamble on that if it was cheap enough. But would you gamble with your life? You know, ignore the recommended service history and you're heading for trouble. A breakdown is never convenient. And our bodies are no different. The Bible tells us that the correct service interval to ensure a long and healthy life is what? 1 in 7. 1 day in 7. It really doesn't matter which day it is, but our bodies are created in such a way that we need food, we need sleep, we need exercise, but above all, we need a day to focus our thoughts upon God. If you want treasure in heaven, make the minimum weekly deposits. Worship is one way to do that. Secondly, Christ-like character. Because the Bible clearly teaches that if we want to lay up treasure in heaven, one of the best investment strategies is to become more like Christ. Because it is only that of us which is like Christ that will be in heaven. Everything else, my carnal nature, my sin, my whatever, will be burnt up before I get there. The Apostle Peter put it like this: finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil for evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Be a blessing, so that you may inherit a blessing. Christ-like character is the only thing we're going to take to heaven. And then thirdly, voluntary sacrificial giving. How do we demonstrate our Christ-like character? How do we demonstrate our worship is authentic? We do so in the way that we invest our time, our talents, and our treasure. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Actions are the proof of our love, not Mother's Day cards. Actions are the proof of love, not words. Every time we sacrifice, every time we give, we're adding treasure in heaven. Revelation 14 says, "Then I heard a voice in heaven say, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on.'" Yes, says the Spirit. "They will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them." You know, ultimately, our acts of giving in our time, our serving, and in giving our finances, investing our resources in the kingdom, is an investment for Jesus. It's an investment for Jesus. Matthew 25, the king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. You did it for me." You're not giving to the church, you're not giving to the poor, you're giving to Jesus through the poor, through the church. So if you want treasure in heaven, send it on ahead. As a church family, we depend entirely on your time, your talents, your treasure to grow the church. And to be honest, we depend on the voluntary sacrificial giving of some church members more than other church members. But if you consider yourself a member of Christ Church and you don't presently serve in some way on a weekly basis, if you don't give on a regular basis to the Lord's work, joyfully, secretly, sacrificially, in proportion to your ability, then I urge you to do so for your own good as much as for the church. And at the door is one of our leaflets, Financial Stewardship. It explains why we should give, how we should give, and where our money is invested in the year ahead. And then there are some very helpful forms that if you fill them in, it's very painless. We want you to be blessed. Blessed as you invest your time, your talents, and your treasure in the kingdom. Deposits, worship, Christ-like character, voluntary sacrificial giving. The question is, what is your security? What is your security? A question of treasure. Jesus moves on. What is your ambition, he says? A question of your vision. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body is full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus turns from the comparative durability of two treasures to the comparative benefit derived from two conditions. For the way we view life will determine what we treasure. The way we view life will determine what we treasure. The contrast now is between someone who can see and someone who cannot. You know how indispensable seeing is to walking or running or driving a car or crossing the road or cooking or any of the other things that we do. The eye illuminates the body, enables our hands and feet to work in the way that God intends. But in the Bible, the eye is frequently synonymous with the heart, our motivation, and our desire. And just as the eye gives light to the body, so a Christ-centered heart throws light on everything we do. This is the light. This is God's word. Now, if I open my eyes and I read it, if I hear it, if I understand it, and if I obey it, that light shines into my life. It transforms my life. It makes me more like Christ. And God willing, you'll see a benefit. But if I ignore the light, if I disregard the word, if I disobey the word, then that light becomes darkness. A money-focused life leads to darkness and fear, to self-centeredness. Howard Hughes died a reclusive, very unhappy man. He once said, "I am not a paranoid, deranged millionaire. Damn it, I'm a billionaire." He was more concerned with his bank account than he was with his sanity. And he lost both. What do you want to be known for in this life? Greed or generosity? A light to others or a warning to others? Where is your security? Question of treasure. Where is your ambition, a question of vision? Thirdly, summed up by this last question, who are you serving? Who are you serving? A question of loyalty. Jesus says no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, many people try. But Jesus explains that behind the choice between our two treasures and where we store them, our two visions, where we fix our eyes, there lies the more basic question, a choice between two masters. Whom are we serving? Because ultimately, it's a choice between the Creator and the created. You cannot serve both. And notice in verse 24, Jesus repeats himself. And when God repeats himself, it's because we're deaf, or because we can't believe it the first time. We need to hear it a second or a third time. When I was a teenager, around the age of about 17, I had two part-time jobs on the go at the same time. And I benefited financially from that little arrangement. I worked in a fish and chip shop at night, and I worked in a garage as a petrol pump attendant during the day. And during the summer holidays, it was bliss. I was rolling in the money. And neither knew of the existence of the other until bank holiday Monday approached. Both pulled me aside, had a little word with me about their expectation of the busiest day of the year, bank holiday Monday. Both employers assumed that I would work for them and exclusively for them, and neither was happy to learn that I had another job on the side. I had to choose. To be honest with you, I can't remember which, but I had to choose. I had to choose. And it may be possible for most of the time to work for two employees, part-time at least. But no slave can be the master of two owners. For single ownership and fully devoted service are the essence of the role. A question of treasure, a question of vision, a question of loyalty. What is your security this morning? What is your ambition this morning? And who are you serving this morning? The choice, Jesus says, is really quite simple, between the Creator and the creature, between worship and idolatry, between the intrinsic worth of knowing and being known by the living God and the intrinsic worthlessness of being known for our love of money. Surely it is inconceivable that anyone would make the wrong choice. And yet many do. Bob Dylan put it this way: you're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And the irony is, we already are. It's simply a question of which. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for the challenging words we've read and reflected on briefly this morning. Lord, you said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Lord, show us where our treasure is today and give us the peace of mind that our hearts are fully devoted to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.